Tiny City Queer Cast.
Gays and lesbians are all the rage.
We're here and we're queer.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
Windy City Queer Cast.
We're talking mega gay.
Ooh, I like that.
I'm Peter Maverick.
I'm Amy Matheny. This Queer Cast is brought to you in part by
Bud Light. Always worth it. American Airlines. Offering the GLBT community exciting vacation packages online at aa.com/rainbow.
This is the Windy City Queer Cast, show number 140. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick.
Hey, Peter.
How are you?
I am sore.
You're sore?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Okay,
that's
here's
dirty.
The deal. It is so dirty. I had a massage last night, and I've been waiting to have a massage, but because of my ear infections a couple weeks ago, I had to cancel one, and then there wasn't anything available this past week. So last night, I went over to my friend Monica's house, and she's a masseuse, and she massaged me and she kept calling me because she works for a spa, and she was on call yesterday. And so they said, you know, can you come and do the 7 o'clock, 7:30 massage? And I was supposed to be around 6:37. She's like, can you come later? And I was like, yeah. Just call me when you get done. So she calls me and she's like, why don't you come at like 9 o'clock? And I was
like, is that night?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
So I was like, okay, she's very close to me. So I drove over there. We got started right about 9:20. And, you know, we're starting and we're talking, and I can tell that I got lots of lymph stuff happening and stress and just, well, you know, haven't had a massage in a really long time.
Let it out.
Yeah. And she was really working me, and she was like, honey, do you have to be anywhere anytime or anything? And I was like, nope, I'm just going to go home and go to bed, you know? So, you know, I had my phone on vibrate, and I heard my phone vibrating a little bit, and I knew Kelly knew I was getting a massage. When I finally got up after my phone had vibrated like six times, it was 11:30.
Whoa.
And she had been massaging me that long, and I was just like, it was like an hour and 40 minutes.
Oh,
by the time
God.
I got dressed, it was like an hour and 40 minute massage. And I'm telling you, I am sore today, but I'm going to have that. I love those massages where you're sore for the next 2 days, and then you are like golden for a while.
Yep.
And
you poop
and
pee and all these nasty things come out of your body.
Yeah, it's coming out of my face. It's coming out of everything right now. But it's a, it was dreamy, but it was like a workout last night, and it was good. It was like good. It's the way you want good sex, long time sex, to feel like, you know, you're a little sore. You know, you went through it. You feel kind of good. You're going to click into your
and then
real
you glow.
Soon. And you're glowing. It's good.
Good stuff.
So that's what I did last night.
Do you know what I had to do last night?
What?
I had to cut my own fingernails.
What do you mean you had to cut? Oh, because you're trying to learn to play the guitar.
Do you know that I have pretty much not had to cut my own fingernails?
Because you get the
manis. Probably
mannies.
Since the beginning of the year, yeah.
Since you get the manis.
I have someone else do it for.
No
I'm spoiled.
Pennies, but manis.
Just manis. I'm so spoiled. I was looking at my fingernails like, oh, God, I can't go get a manicure.
Yeah. No, you have to cut them way down.
Yeah.
I have them.
Yeah, and I usually keep them very short, but it was just weird. I was cutting my own fingernail. And that's such a spoiled bitch thing to say.
Well, I only cut my left hand because I want my right hand to be able to pick strings. So I usually keep my right hand a little longer than my left hand when I'm playing.
I don't know.
But you'd be using a pick, so it didn't matter.
It was just bizarre. It was just bizarre to do it. And then I had to file, and I was like, I'm used to like watching a soap opera.
Do you clip over the toilet? Where do you clip? Over the trash can? I'm always curious. Some people just clip them free flying, free flowing.
No, we don't free fly because I don't want the cats.
You've got the robotic. You've got the robotic dust sweeper.
Yeah,
the
iRobot would do it. No, I usually do it over a garbage can. That's usually the way I do it.
Okay.
Sometimes it's over the toilet.
I always do it over the toilet. It's always kind of in the puking position, twitchy.
Oh, no,
kind of
I don't
strange.
Hover over it. I
do because I don't want them to fly out. I want them to go right in the toilet.
Well, when I cut the cat's nails, it's always over the garbage can.
Yeah.
That's, you know, kind of
then you've got good aim.
Right. Or it's over the sink. Because
my aim sucks.
Really?
Yeah, they go, doom, doom. They fly right and left.
I don't know. Mao has kind of soft nails because he got in this horrible little kitty accident where all his nails were gone. And then he managed to pull the back. So they're soft. They're fine now. I mean, they totally grew back. They were like gnarly for about 6 months, but they're fine now. But I'm so wheezy. I don't know what it is. I don't know if it's because of the change in the...
It's so cold. It's gotten cold.
Yeah.
So that's
Well, you see, I have long sleeves and I have my fall colors on. I have my earth tones.
It's September.
It is.
Here we are in the middle of September.
I'm so excited. You know, the other thing I did the night before last was I watched the program you suggested. I watched the Tell Me You Love Me.
What'd you think?
Not enough penis, actually. But
was it Clay? That's all we want to know.
It's.
Do you think that was Clay or
That was his doink.
Do you really think that she was giving him a hand job?
I think he was erect.
Wow.
I do. I think.
I just don't know that. It's interesting. It's that whole line of like.
Well, I think the guy was rock hard solid when that other girl was rocking on top of him and you got all the balls in the area.
Yeah.
I mean, I know he was hard.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I think they were. I think he was really. Now, was that real joy juice? I don't think so.
Who had joy juice?
He came all over her hand, the one who's trying to get pregnant, and she was like looking at it and staring at the jizz.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Yeah. The jizz. Oh, God.
Well, I'm sorry. Hey.
We have digressed.
You.
No, it's okay. I'm the one
you
who
went there.
I was
you
talking about it at the sales meeting, too, last week.
Are you telling everyone you know? Oh, my God, I saw this hand job on TV.
I saw a hand job on TV and balls. Balls, I tell you.
If we
were in Britain, that would be such a swear word. Balls, I say. Balls.
When the therapist, though, who's not a young woman for any of you who haven't seen
Jane
the show.
Jane Alexander.
Yeah, she's, she's up there in years. When she started going down on her husband, I was like, oh.
I know.
I can't. No, dirty grandma sex.
That's exactly what Kelly said. Kelly was crawling out of her skin, and I was like, "Oh, I think they're so beautiful." I thought they were so beautiful.
No,
her husband, because I think he's handsome.
You know, it was, and I know eventually that's going to be me. I'm going to get there someday, and that's going to be me.
I can't believe you're the one with your love of the GLBT elders, and you're like, "Ooh, grandma sex."
No, let's just put this into perspective,
okay.
Right? Like when I watch sex on TV, it's usually really plastic and trashy. So it's like gorgeous abs, pecs, legs.
And this
arms.
Was really real.
Home video sex is nasty. Real.
Nasty.
It's nasty because they don't pluck and they don't.
Unless
they don't
you're Tommy Lee and Pamela, and then it's quite funny.
Well, I mean, even then, he had zits on his ass. But I mean, there's no body makeup or anything like that, which I'm sorry. When I want to see fantasy, I want to see the fantasy. I don't want to see. Real sex is...
Well, what I thought was good was I didn't find any of it arousing. You know, part of it was kind of clinical.
Did.
Oh, you did?
Oh, I did.
What did you think was arousing?
I don't know. When she just whipped it out and started giving him a hand job, I was like, that's kind of hot.
Okay, well, that was kind of hot.
But
she's
I sort of had a boyfriend who
hot.
Liked to do that. So
oh, yeah?
He was just like...
Do you think one of those guys is cuter than the other? Do you think the hand job guy was the cutest, the dark-haired guy?
He looks...
The power couple.
He looks a little Ashton Kutcher-esque to me. He really does, but he doesn't have bad hair like Ashton Kutcher.
He looks like the guy that was on Tales of the City, the miniseries, who played...
Oh, I never saw that. I saw the original, but not that one.
Yeah.
No.
I don't know. I can't remember that actor's name.
But I was so happy to see the woman from Profiler, who is the only actress that I recognized.
Oh, which one is she? Is she in
she's
the Loveless
the,
Marriage?
She's the mom who's not having sex. No, they love each other.
Yeah,
but
yeah, I'm sorry. The
sexless,
sexless marriage. Yeah, yeah.
She was Profiler.
Oh.
Do you remember that? She was the psychic who could see the murders and who could tell what
That's
happened.
That's who she is. She's skinny as hell.
She's so engaging.
Yeah, she's really good.
Her specialty, one thing I've just always, it was the first time I saw the profile and I got so into her stuff. Is that you can watch the emotions wash over her.
Yeah, she's really transparent, isn't she?
She's and it's so beautiful.
And you're captivated by her. You kind of can't stop watching her when she's on film.
Yeah.
I like her. That's why I said they were my favorite couple. I found them the most intriguing.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they do love each other. And so what's going on here and what's breaking down and what's...
Well, watching her reaction to, you know, sort of just waking up in the morning and getting in the shower and then her husband's playing with himself.
Yeah.
And that sounds so crass to those of you listening, but trust me, it's not. It's actually, it's a really interesting scene, but watching
but
just the
wrong?
Emotions dance
Well, I guess
over
it's her. Only wrong if they haven't had sex in a year.
I don't know how a vagina works really, so I can't tell you.
But I'm just saying, like, do you think it's wrong to have self-pleasure without
God,
your
no,
partner
I play
knowing?
With myself all the time.
Well, there you go.
But see, my partners always know. It's like, baby, I love you, but sometimes I just got to beat off, and that's, you know. Because
it's a different deal, right? It's a different deal to masturbate than it really
boy sex
is to like...
Is, well,
for girls, too. It's a different deal to masturbate than to actually have to connect with a human being and have to have sex.
No, see...
Or want to have sex.
See, but that's you saying that sex with another person means you have to connect with them. And I'm saying... Gay boy sex, for the most part, is not like that.
Oh, well, then
at least in my world, that I'm in it a lot to get off.
Well, there you go.
You know, but when you're in a relationship, that changes the rules. And yes, I see what you're saying. But for me, the way I think about it is, you know what? The joystick likes to be sort of played with.
Yeah. That's
really.
Doinger.
Yeah, my doinger likes to be coddled.
I'm with you.
Cuddled.
My skittle likes to be diddled.
Put in a... There you go. See, look at you using my words. I love it. I'm teaching everything. This has just gone into sex. But it is a good show. I think I hope it keeps up. I'm hoping this wasn't just the first episode glow. That's my only worry.
It got horrible reviews. I mean, ratings. It got good reviews and horrible ratings. It had less than a million people watch it.
Oh, like
the
Nielsen
first episode.
Kind of.
Yeah, it did. Whereas like, you know, let's just say like on average, something like Big Love has like 4 million. So it was really low.
Well, Big Love also in season two. Let's not.
Yeah. But I mean, they were saying its first episode. They were comparing like the first episode. I don't know.
I only saw ads on HBO, though. Did you see any advertising?
I haven't seen a lot of
advertisement
for it. But, you know, I read all those magazines and all that. Hey, listen, you know, for once, I'm not going to talk about television or film. I'm actually going to talk about music because I'm really excited. Next week, coming out just in time for my birthday, practically, the day after, for belated gifts, you can send those to Windy City Media Group at 5443 North Broadway, 60640. But on September 25th, just in time next week for my birthday, Melissa Etheridge's new highly anticipated CD is out, and you can pre-order it on iTunes. And if you do, you get an iTunes video of her song California, and there's other behind the scenes stuff that you get. It's called The Awakening, and it's really supposed to be this CD that's really kind of post-cancer, real survivor. You know, obviously she wrote Inconvenient Truth after this, which won her an Oscar. Mm-hmm. And so it's kind of exciting to have our big lesbian rocker have a new CD. The week after that, which is just in time for somebody's birthday, I don't know, October 2nd, so excited, Annie Lennox's new CD is coming out, Songs of Mass Destruction, and she's going on tour, folks, and she is coming to Chicago and probably to a city near you. Super excited about two of these girls. I mean, Annie Lennox, you know, fantastic recording artist and also live artist.
Yeah.
Melissa Etheridge, great recording artist and live artist. So we've just got really two great chestnut performers who are going to come out with music this fall. And I'm excited because I'm not really, I know the 50 Cent Kanye whole thing was like, is like the big, but I'm bored.
Yeah, basically. You know, I think Annie Lennox too was one of the first people that in my world who I knew in a group and then went solo and just completely went so far ahead of everything the Eurythmics did. Now, the Eurythmics are great. Don't
George
get me
Michael
wrong.
Did it too with Wham. He went way ahead.
I didn't know much of Wham.
Really?
I didn't know. Remember, we're far enough away that Wham wasn't too big.
Gotcha.
Wham was just kind of, it was only like Wake Me Up Before You Go. I think that was it. And then I knew I Want Your Sex. That was early in my solo thing. So she was someone I really caught a handle on the Eurythmics and then got to her, and it was just, I mean, the Diva album, still I can't listen to it without
it's one of my favorite albums for an island. Really, it would be there.
Yeah, it just, it so echoes so much of what was happening in my life at the time, and I was coming out and I was doing so many crazy things. It was the first, I think we talked about this, that's one of the first CDs I ever purchased. It wasn't the first album I purchased, but it was the first CD I purchased.
I was kind of coming out around that time too, right? Early 90s.
Yeah,
is that when it was out?
92.
Yeah, that was exactly when I was coming out.
92.
You and I came out at the same time, but you were just a baby.
I was just baby.
You were trying to get out of sixth grade.
I was, right? I was a sophomore in high school.
I'm teasing
but
you.
But yeah, my parts were in. So I have to go back to television a second.
Yeah, go right ahead. I just was trying to have a segue that...
I'm sorry. I stumbled right into Bob Saget's thing called That Ain't Right on HBO.
Oh, his comedy show?
His comedy show.
He's so dirty.
Wow. He's not super funny per se.
Crass.
But yeah, he's not Andrew Dice Clay nasty, but he's real, uses a lot of curse words.
Yeah. Like, and the Aristocrats, you know, that film where all the comics do all the same thing. I mean, his was pretty, you know, scandalous. Like he it's funny with all those comedians. You don't think like Bob Saget, Full House, that when he would be, I don't know if he's just trying to reverse the, the way people perceived him after.
I don't know
that. And didn't he do one of the funniest videos or?
Yeah, he was on that. He was on Full House for 8 years, and then that show for about 8 years. So he's been like 16 years in the public eye as this wholesome golden guy.
Yeah,
and he has some great stories about it.
Comic,
but his comedy was it's like Lisa Lampanelli. It's so bad you've just got to laugh at it, and it made me laugh hysterically.
Did he do any Mary Kate and Ashley jokes?
Oh yeah. Oh, he talked about sticking his finger up Kimmy Gibbler's butt, and you know Kimmy Gibbler was the real crazy little girl with the curly hair.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all these like foul stories about banging their friends and all kinds. I mean, just freaking hysterical. It's so wrong. It's funny.
Oh God.
I mean, and he goes in this whole diatribe about the expression "fuck that shit." He's like, no. See, I'm gonna have to have a PSA that says, "Hi, I'm Bob Saget, and I'm telling you not to fuck that shit because you will get an infection." And it was like potty humor like that. But he's real stream of consciousness, and I kind of like comics like that who just don't stop talking.
Yeah, Eddie Izzard's kind of like that too. Yeah, you know? He'll go dun 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 dun. What was I saying? Yeah. All right, so green shirts. Peter's in green shirts, and that reminds me of the Nazis, and the Nazis are bad people. Adolf Hitler. Heil. You know, he just like
he'll
goes
just keep
off.
Going and going and going. So it was just super fun though to watch.
Oh, I'm gonna
and
have
I was,
to see it.
My jaw was on the floor like, this is
wow. He must be
fucking Danny Tanner. What the
wow?
I mean, yeah, he really was. Well, I heard stories from a friend that was just in Vegas that said all these little old ladies went to his show.
Oh no!
And walked out and were demanding their money back because they didn't realize. And of course, he's making fun of them leaving the auditorium.
Oh my God!
Yeah. Like, come here, Grams, come here. I'll poke it up here. Yeah, like.
Oh, my God.
Like, just raw.
He's,
just,
like, been somehow, I don't know, possessed by Satan or something.
It's just.
It's so strange,
it's
isn't
intense.
It? It's totally strange. Like, it's just out of the mouth of babes. I mean, it's bizarre.
And he goes on and on about stories about people who sent him porn on America's Funniest Home Video.
Uh-huh.
And he just kept them.
Oh, how funny.
So, yeah.
I'm you know just, they had to get porn.
Oh, my God. Oh my God, like stupid stuff, but and you know, I've seen
people
some,
doing stuff with their doingers, I'm sure, with all
stupid
over
stupid human tricks, really.
Yeah, yeah.
But yeah, it was just,
I gotta get that
intense
video that we were talking about, or the DVD that we were talking about last week about tucking. I'm just curious. Just
from
curious
whence
about
it came, from whence it came.
From last week, very funny.
Ooh.
Speaking of
tucking and the drag queen realm. We have on the show today just a really interesting character. She's so jovial, I think is the word that I'm looking
for.
Feather Handelsman. Heather Hanneman has written a book called Big Wigs, and it's all about her experience as a backup dancer for all these drag queens around Chicagoland.
And she's
beyond.
Straight.
And she's straight. And she has
and was
most,
a little like wide-eyed and Midwestern when she started. So
yeah, they kind of
taught her a
lot.
I doubt she is anymore.
I think she's probably seen it all, smelled it all, and done quite a bit of it.
Yeah.
So she's on the show to talk about her new book. And the book is such a fun jaunt through, it's really the behind the scenes. Because when you see something like a Miss Continental pageant, or you see a big drag number, some people in their minds, they realize, well, there was some rehearsals and there were some things.
Oh,
but
yeah.
No, she kind of takes you all the way back there. It's like panties, feathers, and sequins, and eyebrows, and eyelashes, and heels, and all that fun stuff. Being a backup dancer, you see everyone at their worst as well as everyone at their best. So,
and chorus girls, you know, which I would consider her a chorus girl or a hoofer, not a heifer, a hoofer. She will know what I mean. You know, that I remember one of my first jobs after I came out, I was doing Carousel and I was playing You're a Queer One, Julie Jordan. Oh, of course I was.
Of course you were.
And that show has a big dream ballet and big dance numbers, and it was a big production. I mean, expensive costumes and big production. And you know, I was like 21, and I just had sitting to my right and left in the dressing room 12 dancers, not actresses, not really even singers, but dancers. Right. And they would just all sit there and like their tights with no underwear underneath their tights, just sheer tights and no tops on, you know, doing their makeup. And I was just like, this is great. Chorus girls are fun. Right.
Can you help me stretch on? Oh, of course.
Exactly.
I'll
and I just kind
ankle.
Of imagine like the drag clubs in the background are like that. You know, you kind of have your pancake on, your makeup on, your lashes on, but you got bare chested and some tights on and maybe some shoes on, smoking a cigarette. And those are what I think of when I think of chorus girls and drag queens.
Yeah. It's like a woman from the neck up, and then it's totally matte with a hair chest and heels from the neck down. So yeah, it's kind of bizarre. Bulges in weird place. Speaking of tucking. So Heather is on the show with us today. Plus we have tons of queer news as usual. Cause I'm digging on the news segment. I almost wish, you know, people have asked us to do just a news show, but
I think it's enough. We give them a little taste enough, and then we talk about what we want to talk about. I do want to tease that our next show is going to be a moment in history later this week. So please tell your friends, lesbians, you are going to want to tune in, sci-fi fans. And if you know anything about my history, you know this is the interview of my career coming up in our next show. So,
Liz.
But stay tuned for Heather because she's going to take us down the land of the big wig.
Find out what happened before Dorothy dropped in at Wicked, Chicago's newest smash hit musical and the untold story of the Witches of Oz.
Popular, I know about popular.
Popular, USA Today calls Wicked a triumph. And Time Magazine writes, if every musical had the brain, the heart, and the courage of Wicked, Broadway really would be a magical place. Now, this Grammy Award-winning blockbuster has cast its spell over Chicago. Wicked, at the Ford Center for the Performing Arts Oriental Theater.
And nobody in all of Oz, no wizard that there is or was, is ever gonna bring me.
Call 312-902-1400 or visit BroadwayInChicago.com today. Because the longer you wait, the longer you'll wait to see Wicked.
Bud Light presents Real Men of Genius.
Real Men of Genius.
Today we salute you, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Mr. Edible Underwear Maker.
Your true genius combined two of man's favorite things, panties and food.
I can taste it now.
They're a snack. They're underwear. They're a snack and underwear. Brilliant.
Two treats in one.
Gorgeous grape, rock my world raspberry, bodacious banana.
26 flavors.
And nothing says I want you like a man with a mouthful of underpants.
I want you, flavor.
So crack open an ice cold Bud Light, Mr. Edible Underwear Maker. Because thanks to you, when it comes to panties, extra large means extra yummy.
Yummy.
Beer, Anheuser-Busch, St. Louis, Missouri.
Culture Club. Culture Club. Culture Club. Theater.
Music.
Dance.
Art.
Performance.
Provocative.
Hilarious.
Exciting.
Weird.
Innovative.
Campy.
Edgy.
Original.
Get
some culture in your life.
Join the club.
For the week of September 17th, 2007, you are in Chicago's Culture Club.
Remy Bumpo Theater Company presents Stephen Dietz Fiction. Husband and wife novelists find the foundation of their marriage shaken after reading the secrets of each other's diaries. Fiction runs September 27th through November 4th at the Victory Gardens Greenhouse Theater, 2257 North Lincoln Avenue. For tickets and information to Fiction, call 773-871-3000 or visit remybumpo.org.
Catchy melodies, divine moves, and gobs of hair product. Alter Boys is a hilarious, wholly inspiring musical comedy about five small-town boys, Matthew, Mark, Luke, Juan, and Abraham, trying to save the world one screaming fan at a time. Alter Boys opens October 7th at the Drury Lane Water Tower Theater. Get your tickets now. Visit alterboyschicago.com. That's boys with a Z.
Goodman Theater presents Passion Play, a cycle in three parts. A hilarious and unsettling trilogy about three small towns and three politically charged epics who staged the historic Passion Play. Experience award-winning playwright Sarah Rule's epic that exposes the thorny relationship between politics and religion. Playing now through October 21st. For tickets, call 312-443-3800 or go to goodmantheater.org.
Next Theater Company in Evanston presents the Chicago area premiere of The Busy World is Hushed by Keith Bunin. An Episcopal priest arranges a romance between her assistant and her wayward son. Faith, love, and loss collide in this provocative love triangle. The Busy World is Hushed is playing now through October 14th. Call 847-475-1875 or visit nexttheater.org for tickets.
And for more Culture Club, visit WindyCityTimes.com.
And this is your Windy City Queercast News.
In California, a three-judge panel overturned a Fresno man's conviction for soliciting sex from a sheriff's deputy in 2002. The judges said that the prosecutors failed to establish that anyone in the vicinity was offended by Stephen Lake's behavior. Lake's attorney, Bruce Nickerson, argued that the arrest was discriminatory because heterosexuals are not prosecuted if they solicit sex and no money changes hands.
In Atlanta, a gay attorney is suing an LA fitness location for slander, assault, and intentional infliction of emotional distress. Seth Persley claims that when he asked a staff member to stop saying anti-gay slurs, he challenged the lawyer to a fight and later tried to hit Parsley. LA Fitness has over 200 locations across the country.
San Diego's Roman Catholic Diocese will pay $198 million to settle 144 sexual abuse claims against the clergy. The agreement, which is the second largest payment since the nationwide scandal that was publicized 5 years ago, was the result of 4 years of legal wrangling in state and federal courts.
Speaking of San Diego, the city council will not support a court challenge to California's refusal to allow same-sex couples to marry. Los Angeles, Long Beach, and Oakland are among the cities supporting a friend of the court brief. However, San Diego's council voted 4-4 to support it, meaning the issue is stalled.
A memorial for Latina lesbian activist Yolanda Redder Vargas will take place at the West Hollywood, California Metropolitan Community Church September 29th. Vargas contributed to a number of significant books on lesbian and gay culture and history, including the Lambda Literary Award-winning Queers in Space, Communities, Public Places, Sites of Resistance. Vargas died recently of cancer at the age of 59.
Baltimore, Maryland resident Kevin Douglas Olive has prevailed in a legal battle to keep his late partner's remains in a Tennessee gravesite the couple selected. The parents of the 26-year-old partner, Russell Goff, unsuccessfully argued that their son didn't know what he was doing. The HIV-positive Goff passed away in 2004 of a staph infection.
L.A. Superior Court Judge Michael Solmer has approved entertainer Jennifer Lopez's $545,000 arbitration award in her lawsuit against Oano Noah, her first husband. Noah had planned to write a tell-all book, but Solmer, in addition to approving the monetary judgment, issued a permanent injunction against Noah, prohibiting him from publishing disparaging items about Lopez.
From the beginning, a child welfare official is visiting pop icon Madonna to determine if she would be allowed to adopt a child from Malawi. Madonna and her husband, film director Guy Ritchie, have interim custody of David Banda for 18 months. Only Malawi authorities can approve the adoption.
And Equality Forum, an international LGBT rights organization, has announced 31 icons to be featured during GLBT History Month in October. Some of the icons include Billie Jean King, Gore Vidal, ruler Frederick II, singer Bessie Smith, and Lily Tomlin.
And that's your Windy City Queercast news.
Hey guys, this is Miss Cleo. I want you to listen to my brethren Amy and Peter on Windy City Queercast.
Heather Hanneman knows a little something about wigs and shoes and costumes and makeup and even drag queens, and she's joining us today not to talk about the flair for the dramatic, but instead to talk about her new book called Big Wigs: Stories of a Straight Girl in a Drag Queen's World. Hey Heather, how you doing?
I'm great, thanks for having me.
Hey Heather, you are writing a book that I know many of my straight girlfriends would go, that's my story, or the world in which I want to live. Though you really live it, girl.
You do. So
I live it.
So explain that title to us. What straight girl in a drag queen's world, do tell.
Well, the straight girl is me, and the drag queen's world is, fortunately for me, the world that I'm living in currently. I backup dance for some of the premier female impersonators in pageants such as the Miss Continental, and I've been doing it for about 18 years. And anytime I would tell someone, oh, you know, I'm dancing in a drag show, they'd go, what? You can't dance in a drag show. You're a girl.
they've obviously never seen a real drag show.
Exactly. So I thought the title was, you know, a sort of self-explanatory, but I'm realizing that it's not.
you're having your Paula Abdul moment. I'm watching you like from the background to the forefront.
Right. Exactly.
You're starting to choreograph this scene.
So
exactly. Yes. No. Unfortunately, I am not the star in the center. I am the girl to the back and to the side.
Well, that's okay though. It's a good thing. How did you get started dancing in the first place? I mean, even before I ask you how you got hooked up with the queens, but how did you get started dancing in the very first place?
I was 4 and my mom went back to school, and so I went to a daycare center, and next door to the daycare center was a little dance studio, and they came over and they put on a little show for us, and I had never seen dancing, and I don't remember this, but my mom said she picked me up and my eyes were as big as saucers. And I said, Mom, I have to take ballet lessons. I'm going to be a famous ballerina.
Aww.
So, and it was right next to the daycare. So they used to, this was back in the day before waivers and everything. So they would just walk me over for my little dance lessons and then I'd come back.
And, how cute. And was that in the Chicago area or where did
no,
you go?
No, I actually grew up in a suburb of St. Louis.
Oh, so, oh, you're a Midwestern girl.
I'm a Midwestern
girl. You came to, so in the Midwest, how did you get to Chicago? And then how did you get hooked up with some of these gals around here?
Well, I moved to Chicago to dance with a company here called Gastrodano Jazz Dance Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, when I was dancing there, I was also working with some different production companies, and one of the choreographers said to me, oh, I'm choreographing this drag show, you know, would you be interested in dancing? It's at the Park West, and I did not know what a drag show was.
Had you met a drag queen? I wanted to know if you had the eyes as saucers after you saw drag queens and were like, I want to do that too, Mom. That's what I did. I'm such a drag queen trapped in a lesbian's body. That was exactly what I told my lesbian girlfriends. I said, I want to do that. Do we get, when we're gay, do we get to do that?
You know what? I think you can do whatever you want, sister.
You go, Heather.
Amen.
So, yeah, so I said yes, not knowing what I was saying yes to, but knowing that I was getting paid to dance at a nice theater in the city.
Amen.
And the saucer eyes came out again because I was about 19. I show up at the Park West, and we were in one great big dressing room. And I didn't know what I was looking at. I didn't know where to look. I didn't know what to ask. I didn't want to be rude.
Right. Are you playing a boy in this show or a girl?
No, I'm a girl. I'm always a girl. That's what was confusing me. Oh.
Was this a Who's That Girl?
This was actually Miss Continental. I was dancing for when Monica Moreau gave up her title.
Monica from Sweetwater, Tennessee. I know me some Monica as well.
Yes.
So your first experience, I mean, you just started to talk about it, but what was it like when you actually got out on stage? Did you realize it was going to be that big or were you prepared?
I had no idea, and I loved it. And I got off stage and I was like, okay, any of you people here that need dancers, I'm the one you want to hire because I need to be in these shows because they're so amazing and so over the top and the audience goes crazy. And I knew that this was something I needed to do more of.
So one led to, obviously, you did this one show, and then you kind of began the Chicago networking. Person A talks to person B. Person B sleeps with person C. Then they mention your name. Honey, I know how the boys are. The joystick likes to be played with.
Exactly. And, you know, fortunately, there's generally the hot drag choreographers. And, you know, so I've been lucky enough to work with quite a few and dance with a bunch of really spectacular performers. Not just in the Continentals. I also did, I danced in Who's That Girl multiple years. I actually miss it. And worked with Circuit Mom on some fundraisers and just loved everyone.
So, you know, as you're putting this book together, and I want to tell people, well, tell us first how the book is sort of laid out, because I like how you've kind of pieced everything together.
Oh, well, so I started writing the book, and I think people didn't think that I was actually going to go through with it. So I would call people and I'd say, hey, I'm going to write about these shows. Okay, yeah, sure. Hey, I want to write about these shows. Can I use your name? Ha, 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 click. And so I decided, you know what? I'm just going to start writing the book. And then anyone who's involved in the book, I'm going to email the chapters to them to make sure that they're okay. Because I didn't want to use aliases. I wanted to use everybody's real name.
Right.
Right.
And I only used first name, but still I wanted to use everybody's actual first name and the actual event of Miss Continental, the actual place of the baton. And so I just started sending out emails, and actually Matthew, Circuit Mom, sent me back the funniest email after a chapter that I had sent. And I was like, oh my gosh, I have to print this in the book. This is hysterical. So I thought to put a section in the back of the book called Notes to Feather, where sort of like when a newspaper runs its corrections.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But then I was afraid, well, people aren't going to read that because, I mean, no offense to the newspapers.
Right, but
nobody reads that.
Nope.
And so I decided to add after each chapter a note either about that chapter or in regards to somebody that was in the chapter to sort of personalize it a little more.
Well, and you said notes to feather. So where did this, you know, did some drag queen wave her magic wand and pull off her wig and name you? Or how'd you get, and tell people what the full name is, because I think it's hysterical. And I've heard this for years, so it's amazing that I'm actually getting to talk to you now.
Oh, I love it. Yes, my pseudonym is Feather Handelsman.
It's just delightful. That sounds all, yes, Vegas showgirl and feathery goodness.
Absolutely. And when I was sending out Big Wigs after it was written, and I was sending it out to different publishing houses, I was sending it out with just my pseudonym, Feather Handelsman. Oh. And when I actually signed with a publisher, he was like, you know, you really need to use your name unless, you know, you're writing as a pen name. And I was like, well, I'm not writing as a pen name. I just have this fabulous alter ego.
Yeah, right.
So we compromised, and my real name and Feather Handelsman is on the cover of the book. But Feather came about, it was just somebody was trying to say Heather and they accidentally called me Feather, and we thought it was funny, so for the rest of rehearsal everybody called me Feather, and it just kind of stuck.
Nice.
And Handelsman came about because as you mentioned earlier, I'm a good Midwestern girl.
Mm-hmm.
I moved to Chicago when I was 18, and with my big saucer eyes and not a lot of experience in my back pocket. And I was a late bloomer, so I just really didn't know anything about sex. I didn't know anything about straight sex, gay sex, bisex, you name it. I knew nothing.
You needed to try some sex is what you needed to do.
I definitely needed to try some sex. So
do some living.
So I realized, actually after doing one of the first pageants, drag pageants, I realized that people are pretty open to answering questions. You know, based on if you're asking it in a sincere manner. And so I just started asking people questions. Well, what's this all about? And what does that mean?
And when you put your hand there, what does that word mean?
Exactly. And why does it get big like that?
Nice.
Then I sort of became notorious because I would come into rehearsal and I'd go, okay, guys, so I don't understand. Explain to me top, bottom. What's the thing on the right arm? What's the thing on the left arm? Talk to me.
Nice. Hanky code. Lay it out.
Exactly. So I became sort of notorious for just asking the questions that people maybe had but weren't comfortable asking.
Mm.
And so my friends decided that I needed my own radio show, my own, like, sex show. I could be a sexpert. And they would call it the Heather Handelsman Show because my last name is Hanneman.
I love that.
So they
that.
Just made a little play on words.
I love that.
So over the years, the two names just sort of joined. And I love it because I think it sounds like a drag queen name.
It totally does. I can see that on a marquee at the Park West right now.
And at the same time, it shows how the drag queens affect you. Just you hang around long enough, they'll rename you. They'll open up your sexuality. You'll become a sexpert over just a couple of years.
Learn how to handle the men.
Actually, a funny little sidebar. So at Miss Continental last night, one of the judges was the real Miss America from 2004.
Oh, wow.
Erica, and I'm going to slaughter her last name, Erica Dunlap, I believe.
Well, like the book, we'll just call her Erica.
Exactly.
Erica.
So Erica was judging Miss America 2004. And she came up on stage and she sang a song and she was really lovely and she talked to the audience and she said, you know, I've been around the Queens for the last, you know, couple years and I'm learning about big hair and I'm learning about being fishy. So my new drag name is Albacore Divine.
Oh,
Albacore Divine.
And thus
and
she
I
was
thought,
reborn.
You know, if Miss America can have a drag name, everybody can.
Amen.
Exactly.
And amen. Ooh, they need to have that as part of the Miss America pageant. Who has the best drag name? That needs to be a category. So why did you sort of feel the need? What was it that made you want to write these down and write a book? I mean, these are all the stories you've gained.
Yeah, I knew that they were really fun stories. I knew that it was an experience that a lot of people don't get to have, or maybe are a little curious about, but aren't comfortable necessarily going to the Baton or going to Who's That Girl or to actually see a show, but they're curious or confused. And so I thought, you know what, there's some really good stories here. There's an audience here. I'm just going to write these and see what happens.
Excellent. And I'm sure sort of over time being involved in many, many different productions, you kind of have a million different stories. How did you decide what goes in the book, what doesn't? Did you lay it all out and say you and you, or what was your decision process there?
I wish I could say I was super organized and I wrote an outline and did all of that. But the truth of the matter is my friends that I dance with the most, I said, come on, we're going out for cocktails. And I wrote down on cocktail napkins. I was like, okay, tell me your favorite memory or your favorite from, you know, different shows. And and then I was able to incorporate some of the non-drag show stories in there as well.
Mm-hmm. Right.
That sort of lead into it. So I think it just gives a nice behind the scenes, maybe a little fly on the wall experience of being a performer.
Mm. And was there anything that was maybe too racy to include in the book, or that any little gem or any little, you know, little secret story that didn't make it in the book that you can share with us?
There's no secret story that didn't make it in the book, but one thing that I learned recently, chapter 2 and chapter 1, I kept flip-flopping on which chapter should go first. And what ended up being chapter 2, it's called I Smell Fish.
Mm-hmm.
And, and in the end, yes, and in the end, it talks about how in order to be a drag queen and to be a female impersonator, that the performer has to have a penis. And so I kept going back and forth because I was like, this is really the like capture story that, you know, kind of explains what the whole book is about.
Mm-hmm.
But then I was it was explained to me that maybe that's not the first thing that you want the reader to experience. So I said, okay. So chapter 2 became chapter 1 and chapter 1 became chapter 2. And a friend of mine at work calls me and she goes, I just was reading the book and I heard from Kylan that I should start with chapter 2 and then go back to chapter 1. And I was like, I love that that's the word on the street. And I never told a soul that about the flipping of the chapters. So note to myself, note to Feather, next book, put whatever I want first.
Yeah, just let it hang out.
Now, I have a question about the fact that, you know, we've actually talked with some other people. We've been talking with a lot of other trans or illusionist artists. And, you know, there's not really been quite yet a television show on any of the gay networks or reality series, though many have been pitched about this kind of world of the trans world or the drag world, because seems like mainstream America wants to see it as this dark, dramatic, sad place. And I think books like yours really try to find the joy and the family and the hope and the expression in that world. Is that a persona for that world that you really want to vehemently say this is a fun, you know, alive and vivacious world?
I just fell in love with you. That's exactly what I've been trying to present, because there is this common misconception that there's something seedy or X-rated or unseemly about this world, and it's not. It's a world of amazing performers and amazing performances. So, yes, that was absolutely part of my intention, is to open up the eyes of really middle America, or, you know, like the suburban housewives. Who
soccer moms.
My target audience, but it's turning into.
Well, they fill the baton these days with the bridal showers and the parties and the.
Yes, bachelorettes, absolutely.
So behind the scenes, now you have such a unique insider's perspective. What, in general, what kinds of things like surprised you about the community, or what lessons have you learned maybe as the community is, I mean, not how to put on eyelashes or how to, you know, arch your eyebrow appropriately, although makeup tips are welcome.
And free, I bet, to Heather.
Right.
Feather.
But what kinds of things did you learn immersing yourself in this culture?
I've learned quite a few things, and some of the things that surprised me the most, because what you think of and what I've experienced being a dancer is there's a lot of cattiness, and there's a lot of, you know, well, if you mess up in this show, that's better for me, because then I'm going to step forward and I'm, you know, any mistake that you make makes me look better.
Mm.
I'm exaggerating a little bit, but in general, it's
the dance community.
It's like showgirls.
Yeah.
It's all true. I'm going to push you down the steps if you pause as you run down them.
It is just like showgirls. And what I've learned is that Sure, there's cattiness. I'm not going to lie and say there's no cattiness. Mm. But it's really beautiful to see different performers sort of take new performers under their wings, and how different established queens will sponsor up-and-coming queens and really sort of show them the ropes. And it's almost like an apprenticeship. Mm-hmm. And it's not just as far as being a performer, but as far as being a lady and as far as being seen in public. And it's really, really sweet.
Hmm. And it's I always find that inside of the little subsets inside of our community, we make families so much faster. Mm-hmm. inside of those little spheres and inside of those little things. So mm-hmm. Now a frivolous lesson, something completely yeah. frivolous and off the cuff that you just learned that you never knew before.
I'm sorry, say that again?
Tell us about like a frivolous lesson. Like seriously, was it how to put on eyelashes or how to wear, you know, shoes that make your legs look the best? Give us some little frivolous, like when you had one of those moments.
The best frivolous thing is when you put your shoes on and they're like open-heeled shoes, mm-hmm. you can't have that little flap of skin hanging out over the back of your shoe. And I know because I have big feet, and I'd always pretend that I wear a size 8, but I really wear a size 9. I came marching into rehearsal with my heel hanging off the back of my shoe and was red.
Right away. Honey, big feet, big shoes make it happen.
That's right. I wear a size 9. Heather, we're a match made in heaven.
Yes, we are.
And turn your feet sideways when you're going down the stairs, honey.
That's right. And my favorite quote actually comes from Circuit Mom. About makeup, mm-hmm. that cover girl does not cover boy.
Amen, sister.
There you go.
Amen. Well, folks, if you're interested in picking up the book, and I highly recommend you do it because it is a comic romp from one end to the other. I was sort of giggling and snickering on the train, and I'm sure people thought I was insanely crazy. So pick it up. It's called Big Wigs, Stories of a Straight Girl in a Drag Queen's World. You can check it out online at bigwigsproductions.com. We'll have that linked in the show notes. And if you're tooling around on Amazon or your favorite online e-tailer, you can look up Big Wigs and get your copy today. Heather, thank you so much for hanging out with us.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening to another Windy City Queercast. This show is brought to you in part by Bud Light. Bud Light, always worth it.
And American Airlines, offering exciting GLBT vacations online at aa.com/rainbow.
And Broadway in Chicago, for the hottest tickets in town, visit broadwayinchicago.com.
So that's our show. I'm Amy Matheny.
And I'm Peter Maverick. Please comment on our shows on our website and in iTunes.
The next Queercast is only days away, so don't miss it.
Windy City Queercast, queer and now. Craving for the touch of his gentle hand.
The best and the brightest, served up daily by the sharpest minds in content delivery, Pod Show and Limelight.